Australia to be doing well, it helps our economy.
The entire report is based on unnamed sources who are perhaps doing something they shouldn't be doing, and we're in a circuitous fiasco about something that's not true.
President-elect Donald Trump has made some unconventional picks for his cabinet. Wasn't Donald Trump supposed to drain the swamp?
Mm-hmm. And actually, Mr. Trump is draining the swamp, as he said he would, and the frogs and the toads and the newts that are left to have mutations that allowed them to survive are now his cabinet picks.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, December 12th, 2016. It's 5:10 in the morning. Great to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day, another business week, and this is going to be a busy week for a lot of folks. I know, aside from your Christmas shopping and holiday shopping, it is Federal Reserve Interest Rate Week, and we will be celebrating all this week here on The Opening Bell. Lots to talk about. I kid, but the Fed interest rate decision is later this week. That's going to be a big deal. We'll have it for you, obviously, in all kinds of analysis. But there's a lot of other stuff going on as well, including our CEO spotlight today, which focuses on a topic I bet you probably heard your grandfather or grandmother say, don't take me to the hospital, I'll die. Well, you possibly could die in the hospital because of an infection. The number of those infections, fatal infections, not funny, is on the rise. And we will talk to the CEO of a Chicago company who's trying to help in that regard and has technology that's in our CEO spotlight today. But first, let's go to the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk on the big board this morning. All is quiet ahead of the opening bell. Dow futures, though, pointing up about 2 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower this morning around the globe. Markets are generally lower in Europe and in Asia, with the Nikkei off up. The only bright spot in Japan, up 158 points. In Europe, most of the indices are lower off just fractions, though, the DAX and the CAC. Off just a bit this morning in the United States, around the world. Crude oil is trading up, though, 4.5% at $53.86 a barrel. And that is a big deal because oil prices have been low for quite a while. Certainly a lot of people making money in the oil trade. How it will affect you at the gas pump remains to be seen. There are a couple of big stories you probably missed over the weekend, including this story. Chicago's Boeing has finalized a $16 billion deal for the sale of 80 aircraft to Iran, paving the way for Iran Air to sign a $25 billion deal to buy about 118 jets from Airbus. This had been in contention because the U.S. government was making moves to try to stop the deal from going through, saying they didn't want Boeing to do business with what they called a terrorist country, mainly Republicans who were also opposed to the Iran deal. Also this weekend, we saw some more of Donald Trump's cabinet take place with a possible Secretary of State pick coming this week. And here's a story that's going to affect a lot of people in Illinois. GEICO, which is part of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, says it plans to raise car insurance rates for about 200,000 Illinois policyholders next year by an average of 3.5%. That's according to state records, this report from the Chicago Tribune over the weekend, in case you missed it. Well, consistent hygiene in the hospital has always been a challenge. Hospital-acquired infections is the official term for it. Despite diligent efforts, the annual statistics of affected patients and the cost is growing. And here they are. Hand hygiene. 64% of hand hygiene has increased 64% in hospitals using SwipeSense technology. We're going to be talking to the CEO in a second. Also, the average cost of a hospital-acquired infection is $15,000. I mentioned 1.7 million of these infections every year. The annual cost of hospital-related infections in the U.S. is $28.4 billion. The number of infection-related deaths every year is 100,000. That's a lot. Let's bring in the CEO of SwipeSense, the Chicago-based company. Mert Yeshery is with us this morning. Mert, let's start with the very basics first. Welcome to the opening bell. Tell us about this. What is the problem, and what are you trying to target here with your product?
SwipeSense solves one of the core challenges that we have in healthcare today. At a macro level, these are called hospital errors. These are mistakes that healthcare workers make. Obviously, everybody has the best intentions, but things happen in hospitals. Now, one of those specific examples of errors is called hospital-acquired infections. These are the bugs that people get after they're admitted into a hospital. So, Steve, picture this. I mean, you go to the hospital, and, you know, you're, God forbid, you're going to have an operation, and there's the pre-op place, you have the operation, you're in the med-surg unit, you're getting better, and something completely unrelated to the surgery that you're about to get, you get an infection and you have to stay for another week. And that could be life-threatening. This actually is such a big problem that approximately 100,000 patients lose their lives in the United States alone because of these bugs. Now, we know the number one way of defending against these infections, these particular errors in healthcare, and it's better hand hygiene. This is one of the cardinal rules of delivering healthcare. You have to wash your hands before and after you touch a patient. Now, unfortunately, hospitals measure this using mostly pen and paper these days. You have a nurse sitting in the corner of a hallway, and they're checking boxes if people did their jobs. Our product, our system, basically takes the guesswork out of this. We have a system that measures hand hygiene compliance in real time, and a number of interventions for hospitals to actually change behavior of their healthcare workers. For most importantly, they save lives, they have better health outcomes, but also they save billions of dollars because of all of the penalties that are avoided for having these high infection rates.
How are you figuring this out? Is there a set of eyes? Is there a camera? Is there artificial intelligence, a sensor? How do you measure this?
It's an Internet of Things mesh network. You know, this is a field that's actually grown quite intensely in the fields of manufacturing, airfare. Now we're seeing Disney do a big move on this. It's basically connected devices. You can think of our system as a network of sensors that are placed around the hospital. Everybody gets a smart badge, and this badge measures where you are at any given time and whether you've actually washed your hands or not. So we extrapolate your room entry data from this large set of signal information, and we determine whether you wash your hands when you were supposed to wash your hands.
It reminds me, when I saw the product and saw your company and started doing research, it reminded me immediately of when I did a nuclear drill with the state Department of Emergency Management, and we had these badges that said, you've been infected with nuclear radiation.
Landauer does that, actually, so Chicago company.
Yeah, so it's sort of the same thing, right? Same idea.
It's sort of the same thing, except it's for hand hygiene. You hit the nail on the head. This is a way for folks to ultimately measure their performance as healthcare workers and fundamentally for the hospital to deliver better care for their patients in the avenue of hand hygiene.
Does it beep at you when you don't do the right thing? Does it send an alert to the nurse's desk? Does it just stop you from moving?
What? I have a somewhat of a contrarian belief in this space. There's plenty of companies that are working to do what we're working on, and this is a hot source of topic. Is there an alert? Is there something that reminds people? I always ask myself, if Apple were to design a hand hygiene intervention system, would they really put a beep or buzzer or some sort of a alert that says, wash your hands, you know?
Yeah.
The reality of the matter is you're talking about people's behavior change. And if it were as easy as reminding someone to say, hey, wash your hands, this problem would not exist in the first place. When we go into hospitals, the beginning hand hygiene compliance is approximately 30-35%, which means that if you want to get to 90, which is your goal, 95% compliance, you have to do three times more of what you're currently doing. This isn't a simple problem of, like, let me remind you and you'll do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
That, I would say, is an intervention in the last mile. You're going from 85% to 90%. Yeah, maybe you need a reminder here and there. But we're talking about a fundamental change in culture and a fundamental change in behavior. And no, we don't have alerts. We look at long-term behavior change rather than short-term interventions.
So 33% compliance, that means you got 67%
yes.
Non-compliance.
Yes.
Those are people, doctors, nurses, not washing their hands.
Correct.
I'm having a hard time understanding why they don't do this.
Plenty of reasons, actually. I mean, the easy, I think, shortcut of an answer, which is the incorrect answer, is looking at this problem and simply saying, oh, people just don't care. You know, this is, you know, why they should just do a better job. It's actually not that. Think of it in this way. If I asked you in a large group of folks in a room and I said, how many of you guys believe you're above average drivers? Everybody would raise their hand. Because reality, people think they're pretty good drivers. This is the problem that we're dealing with. The fact is half those people are wrong, right? Half those people should not have raised their hands, but they think that they should raise their hands. This is the basic problem in healthcare. You have hospitals that report hand hygiene compliance rates using pen and paper as an observation tool of, you know, we're at 99% hand hygiene compliance. So people think, well, I'm doing a fine job, so why should I change? You introduce a proper measurement tool like SwipeSense, and suddenly the reality is a lot different. It's as if you've been trying to lose weight by going to the gym, and your scale in the morning tells you that you're perfect weight. okay, all we should do first is properly give you a proper scale in the first place.
1.7 million acquired infections every year at the hospital is what your research finds and other research as well. That's a lot, and we're getting into really serious, dangerous territory because some of these infections are those kind that are hard to treat, sometimes impossible to treat.
Absolutely. So, especially for patients that are in the ICU that are already in a critical condition.
So the guy who was, you have the paranoid guy who lives on your street who says, oh, I'm not going to the hospital because I'll die. There's a little truth to that.
No question about it. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, I love hospitals. I think they're places where quite literally miracles happen. And I've come to love the industry so much. I mean, I'm planning on being a part of this world for a long time now. But I've really come to appreciate that with the world of healthcare and the world of hospitals. But the reality of the matter is, unless you have to be there, you probably should stay out of a hospital. It's a dangerous place to be in.
I saw a couple of recent documentaries that sort of had science fiction, high-end solves to these problems. One of them involved putting copper everywhere because the copper kills infections. The other is a pretty good argument, too, is that as we get more into artificial intelligence and robots actually working and doing jobs, that this may be a problem that will go away when robots are in charge. Yes,
I think those two are very fine interventions. I mean, I'll comment on them specifically.
Sure.
The copper idea is a fairly good one. However, it's kind of obvious even for a layperson to realize you can't literally build a hospital out of copper. So there's only so many surfaces that you can cover with, perhaps door handles, perhaps railings on beds. I mean, these are good interventions and hospitals should likely engage in these. But a hospital is huge. You can't have floors, walls, light switches, everything made out of copper. It kind of doesn't work. So that's, the problem with the first idea. The second one, sort of robots taking over healthcare, I guess in principle, this would resolve this issue, but the reality is we're decades away, even for the basic interventions to be done by computers, let alone complicated surgeries and long-term patient care that occurs in our hospitals. This is true. A machine would always remember. A machine would always wash its hands because it's programmed to do so. Mm-hmm. But the idea that we should wait for machines to take over healthcare until we resolve this problem is, I think, perhaps a little too late to solve this problem when we have the tools right now.
So you bill your product as the complete hand hygiene solution. What success are you having? What are you seeing in terms of those rates going up or down or improving?
I've answered this question in two metrics. These are the numbers that we look at as a company. A, what has been our impact in hand hygiene rates? Can we actually change behavior? But most importantly, what happens to the infection rates in hospitals? I mean, this is sort of our outcome if we're successful in the hospital. And I'm very pleased to tell you, the first number, within 6 months, we'll double your hand hygiene rates. It's as simple as that. It really depends on where you're starting from in terms of your hand hygiene compliance. But if you look at the cumulative average, we can commit to 100% improvement within half a year, which is a significant jump considering most hospitals think that they're at 95, 99% compliance when they're starting off. The second one is I'm also very pleased to tell you that we have seen infection rates in some of our hospitals upwards of 67%. This means that as a business, we have saved our first lives. I mean, this is something that motivates me greatly because this was the original why of the company. This is what got out of the bed in the morning when my co-founder and I left school and we were looking at, okay, what should be next? What's the biggest idea that we can get behind? I mean, 100,000 people losing their lives because of infection rates is a moral obscenity. It is a crime against humanity. And we looked at this problem and said it's not acceptable in this day and age for people to be losing their lives in hospitals because of something as simple as hand hygiene.
In the first world.
Anywhere in the planet. So we have been able to reduce infection rates. We have been able to increase hand hygiene. And I'm extremely proud of that.
You know, doctors and nurses are very serious about this. They, even if they don't have that compliance, they know what the problem is. They know how to fix it. They know they would fix it tomorrow if they could. But unfortunately, I bet you have to deal with a lot of bean counters at hospitals, and it's a cost-benefit thing. What challenges do you have in that area?
Well, first and foremost, hospitals are large institutions. And even if you were selling chewing gum to a large institution, you have to think of it in a systems matter. Now, hospitals do have bean counters. What's working greatly towards their advantage is that infections cost a ton of money. And those bean counters actually really like SwipeSense because of the changes that we've been able to create within the hospitals themselves.
The cost being the lawsuits, the cost of fixing the problems.
That number of avenues. One, lawsuits. Two, the cost of treating the infection that happens in the first place. Three, bundled payments. Now you're getting paid for performance and not paid for service. Four, and most importantly, this is the easiest one to actually measure. Right now, 758 hospitals out of the 5,600 in the U.S. just last year lost 1% of their Medicare reimbursements because of high hospital-acquired condition rates. I mean, this is 1% of revenues from Medicare, the largest insurer in the country. I mean, if you tell that to a bean counter, you can see the color of their eyes literally change.
That'll bring a reaction almost immediately.
Oh, my goodness. It's clear.
So let me ask you this. Did you wake up one morning and say, I want to fight infections? How did you come up? How did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
I went to the engineering school at Northwestern University, McCormick School of Engineering, and I met my co-founder there while I was still a student. His name is Yuri Molina, brother from another mother, great dude. He and I started a group called Design for America while we were still students at Northwestern. Design for America is a simple premise. You get students from different backgrounds, give them a big, nasty challenge, and they have to use human-centered design to solve it. Has to be local, has to use design. And we believe that this interdisciplinary approach really was a unique perspective to most of the problems that happened in the world. I mean, this could be something as simple as, how do we teach a child to better manage their diabetes? Mm-hmm. Or how do we do better disaster response in a hurricane in New Orleans? Hand hygiene and hospital-acquired infections was simply one of those problems. Now, Design for America grew. It grew from the three students and the one professor that started the whole thing to now over 5,000 students over 38 campuses. I'm extremely, extremely happy to see that organization flourish and grow. But what I took away, what I inherited from Design for America, was this grand quest. And the grand quest that we chose to fix was hand hygiene in hospitals. I mean, it became very clear. It was one of the early projects, and we worked on it, and you know, we came up with a prototype of an idea. And right before we graduated, I was so excited as a young student, and I felt like, oh my God, I have this great idea. I'm going to tell it to everyone. And I was describing to a friend of mine. I said, I have this idea. Hand hygiene is a huge problem. 100,000 people die every year. Can you believe this? And this person asked me, well, okay, how many lives have you guys saved so far? And this was like a slap in the face. Mm-hmm. This was like, well, it's a prototype. We haven't really done anything yet. And he simply asked, well, what good is your idea if you haven't actually made it into the real world? And this was a big moment of maturing moment for me as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I think before that I was simply someone who liked the idea of a startup, but never the actual pain, never the actual hustle of what it takes to make an idea real. And that was the moment where I decided this has to be a reality and we're going to take this as one of our life's goals.
It strikes me, just your passion coming across here in this interview, that even if Swipes and saved one life, you would be happy with that.
For me, one life matters. One life is a grand accomplishment. But the task we have accomplished, set aside for ourselves is ending infections.
Yeah.
And even beyond that, ending medical errors in the first place. Any life is equally valuable. And, it's sort of a thankless job. Someone whose life you saved, it's not like they have a life-threatening disease and you give them a pill and they're better now. These are infections that are avoided. So it's kind of a thankless place to be. But we know in our heart of hearts, from the hospital that we're in, we see their infection rates. They're going down. And as a result, lives are being saved. It makes me jump up in the air every morning.
You talk about Design for America, and this is not just something that's locally. This is caught on a global scale where we now have this notion of moonshot. Let's attack cancer with a moonshot.
Absolutely.
Let's do this. These ideas where you get all of these interdisciplinary ideas together and people together to solve a big problem. Did you think it would expand to that level? Because you really were there before the moonshot idea people.
I simply followed what interested me. I have an incredible amount of faith in the passion and the energy of young people committed to save this world. I mean, in every sense of the world, you now have a culture of entrepreneurship. And this is everywhere from the Valley to the East Coast, where people look at startups and they ask, well, what is the impact that you're creating in the world? What good does this do? Because a yogurt delivery app is a sweet app. I mean, I would love to have a yogurt delivery app, a fresh yogurt
by drone, perhaps.
By a drone. I mean, this is a sweet idea. But in reality, the world will be fine without a drone delivering yogurt to your doorstep. Tell me about the big wrong in the world that deserves to be righted. This attracts people to fight and die for your company, the best talent that you can possibly hire, the best capital that you can fund, because fundamentally these people are backing fixing this large problem, and fundamentally giant business opportunities, because the bigger the problem, the higher the return. That's something that excites me, that attracts me, and it's simply, I'm simply an example of what my generation is already doing in the rest of the world. I simply had the, you know, had the audacity to follow the heart sooner.
What was it about getting this started in the Midwest that helped or hurt or hindered or made things better for your company?
A couple of things. I mean, first and foremost, you're tapping into a great pool of talent. This is Northwestern, University of Chicago, IIT, UIC, Urbana-Champaign. You're looking at deep engineering technology institutions. I guess UChicago doesn't have an engineering school, but we still love them. It's all good. You're looking at brilliant folks whom previously would look at the coast as sort of, oh, wait, that's where I graduate to. Where in the last decade or so, people simply realize giant opportunities could be built right here. But the second thing is, Chicago is a city with broad shoulders. There's something that I've now found in almost every entrepreneur that I meet who's sort of bred in this environment. And there's, you know, very few people who say this better than Troy Hennikoff, the leader of Techstars Chicago. You almost have this personality of grit and determination. Mm-hmm. That's exemplified by the simple fact that it's really cold up in here. I mean, when people right. say, oh, you're from Chicago, it must be cold. Well, okay, thank you. First of all, I had no idea for reminding me that it was cold. It is cold. But you know what? We survive. We look at it in the eye, and we have grit, zest, and broad shoulders to go at the cold, and we don't care. This is something that I think startups take pride in terms of their hustle in living in Chicago and the Midwest.
We sometimes hear the sports analogy, we're a city of Grabowskis, where we go in and we get the job done and we don't brag about it and you know, we just want to succeed. And I have to play referee because we love the people at University of Chicago. They have found planets.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have to give them a couple of points for finding planets.
I love you, Chicago. I hire a lot of people from there.
Let me ask you what's next, because I think I kind of know where you're going with this. You want to solve the infection problem, but I kind of heard in there that medical errors in general, how do you expand and what's the future hold for your company?
There's a brilliant surgeon who actually is a writer for The New Yorker, wrote a bunch of books about the subject, named Atul Gawande. He's sort of like one of my people that he's in my list of folks I would invite over for dinner if I could invite over everybody. Abe Lincoln is another one of those folks. Atul Gawande writes about medical errors, and he qualifies them into two boxes. The first box is in ignorant mistakes. I mean, these are things that, hey, we just don't know how to cure cancer. You have this disease, it's really bad. And you know, we're just going to have to go at it until we know what the right thing to do is. But the second kinds of mistakes are inept mistakes. These are the medical errors I'm talking about. These are the things
amputated the wrong leg.
I amputated the wrong leg.
I left a sponge in somebody's stomach.
Can you believe this happens in 2016?
No.
These are $1 trillion. Yeah. The 20% of our GDP is healthcare. And we still amputate the wrong leg. I mean, it's unbelievable that this happens. I view it as simply, we don't have enough technology. We have had this zero error mentality in amusement parks now, in airlines. And you look, even in an emergency landing in Fargo, it's national news now because of how rare it is.
Right, right.
I mean, we lose an airplane load of people every single day because of these infections. And we simply have learned to treat it as cost of doing business. So my prerogative, my perspective is this. By having an intelligent hospital, by having connected devices in the hospital industry that generate data on every step of the patient care continuum, we can do a better job. My goal is to make healthcare workers almost give them a superpower to really understand what happens to their patients and allow them to make better decisions as a result of it. Hand hygiene and hospital-acquired infections happens to be the first problem that we solve. But my answers are set on eradicating hospital, you know, errors in the first place. So when you go to a hospital, you get better, as you should.
You've got your work cut out for you. Best of luck, because as somebody who might need a hospital someday, we're counting on you.
I appreciate that. I certainly am doing it for not just you, not just for me, but for everyone in the world.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Meredith Sherry is the CEO of SwipeSense, and you can find more information, follow him and the company on Twitter, at SwipeSense. This is a Chicago-based company. We'll have more of our discussion after the bell with Meredith, and we'll post it in our podcast later this morning at WGNradio.com. It's 529. Over to the newsroom now. Vic Vaughn is standing by. Vic.
Good morning, Steve. A former Illinois representative will be brought before federal court today to answer criminal charges in Springfield. Our report next.
All right. This is the opening bell at 530.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, a jumping robot that could one day be used to save lives. In a video posted online, researchers at UC Berkeley have introduced Salto, a powerful wall-jumping robot.
Which stands for saltatorial locomotion on terrain obstacles, saltatorial being the Latin word for jumping, and it's a word biologists use when referring to jumping animals.
To design this one-legged leaper, roboticist Duncan Haldane says he drew his inspiration from a small African primate called a galago, or bush baby.
The longer they stay in a crouch, the more energy they can transfer into their tendons, and the more energy they can return for jumping.
Salto has the highest robotic vertical jumping agility ever recorded, leaping a meter high from a crouched position.
What that allows is to have the motor be able to stretch out the spring and keep the robot crouched for longer.
Researchers hope Salto's unique agility can be useful in search and rescue operations, where rough terrain and obstacles can become stumbling blocks. With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
It's time again to celebrate another Cochrane New Year's Eve. The 1 o'clock is at the Row, the 6 o'clock at the Tivoli. There's music, laughter, and of course a 2016 in review. It's Crystal Lake and Downers Grove. We're doing two shows just for you.
Shows 1 o'clock in Crystal Lake, RouseCenter.org, and 6 o'clock in Downers Grove at the beautiful Tivoli, ClassicCinemas.com.
I'm here to live. I went through these treatments and these surgeries to have a better quality of life.
After Karen Nowotsky was diagnosed with breast cancer and underwent a mastectomy, she came to Cancer Treatment Centers of America in suburban Chicago to continue her treatment and find relief for the lymphedema that developed in her arm.
It was becoming not only unsightly, but extremely painful.
Karen's team reconstructed her breast and performed a lymph node transfer, an intricate microsurgical procedure used to treat advanced lymphedema.
I knew that nowadays cancer treatments were much more advanced, and I really felt that if I went to the right place, I would get the right care to keep me on track, and that was here in the breast center at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
To learn more about the Certified Quality Breast Center of Excellence, visit cancercenter.com/Chicago or call 888-925-6121. Cancer Treatment Centers of America in suburban Chicago. Appointments available now. No case is typical. You should not expect to experience these results.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel.
800-965-1292. 800-965-1292. 800-965-1292.
Are you paying more out of pocket for health care these days? Well, here's good news. Illinois Bone and Joint Institute offers high quality orthopedic care that often costs less. From sports medicine and arthritis treatment, joint replacement, spine care, and rehab, the experts at IBJI will get you back to the things you love affordably. They now have new locations in Barrington, serving Lake, McHenry, and Kane counties. Learn more at IBJI.com. IBJI. Move better, live better.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN. It's time for the news, sponsored by Midwestern University Eye Institute. Here's Vic Vaughn.
Arraignment is scheduled today in federal court in Springfield for former Republican Representative Aaron Schock. He's facing 24 federal charges, among them wire fraud, mail fraud, and misuse of government and campaign money. A break from the snow for the Chicago area. Still, we'll see frigid temperatures, single-digit wind chill factors. Parts of Michigan will see more snow today, up to 10 inches. That's on top of the half foot of snow already on the ground there. And public schools in Chicago are open this morning, only seeing one private school closure in Chicago today. That's Greater Bethesda Missionary Baptist Church. Public schools in LaPorte, Michigan City area schools, they will open, but with a 2-hour delayed start to the day. Now an update on the roadways. WGN traffic, Mary Vandeville.
Which have been pretty well plowed overnight. They're just kind of wet and slushy on some of the roadways, especially the secondary roadways, and some ramps may be slippery this morning. So still give yourself a little bit of extra time just in case. So far, so good on the Edens. Heading out to O'Hare, it is crowded already. River Road to Mannheim. No backups, though, on the Eisenhower or the Stevenson. Inbound side of the Ryan on the new flyover ramp, the inbound ramp to westbound Eisenhower. There's an accident in the left lane being cleared. Bishop Ford's okay along with 57, and the tollway is still clearing an accident in Oakbrook at 83 and 31st. Mary Vandeville, WGN Traffic Central.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get to Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4933. 800-590-4933, 800-590-4933, that's 800-590-4933.
The WGN Associated Bank Market Desk numbers. Asian markets finished mixed today. The Shanghai fell more than 2% in value. The Hang Seng lost nearly 1.5%. In Japan, the Nikkei gained nearly 1%. Trading in Europe's mostly lower this morning. In Germany and France, markets are trading in red territory now, slightly higher in England. Oil futures are higher in pre-market trading. Gold futures lower. Major index futures in the U.S. pointing to a weaker opening on Wall Street today. WGN Sports and Dave Bennett.
WGN Sports brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Blackhawks improved their home record to 12-2-3 with a 3-1 win over the Dallas Stars at the United Center. Our Xfinity Blackhawks report. The Hawks trailed briefly early in the second before Marian Hossa's 15th goal of the year. Less than a minute later, tied it, and Artem Anisimov put the Hawks ahead for good later in the second period. The Blackhawks visit the New York Rangers tomorrow night. The Bears fell to Detroit 20-17, a penalty-marred game in which the Bears were flagged 11 times for 139 yards, including a couple crushing holding penalties on their final possession. The Bears 3-10. They host Green Bay on Sunday. It turns out Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford beat the Bears with an injury to his throwing hand. He ended up throwing for 223 yards. One touchdown. He was intercepted twice. He scored the winning touchdown. Last night, the New York Giants ended the Dallas Cowboys club record 11-game winning streak, 10-7. In the Monday night game, it's Baltimore playing at 10-2 New England. College basketball, Northwestern improved to 7-2. The Wildcats with an 83-49 win over New Orleans. They also announced that sophomore Aaron Falzone underwent knee surgery and will be lost for the season. Northern Illinois lost to Minnesota 77-57. And in college football, Charlie Strong, fired by Texas, hired as the new coach at South Florida. Join Coach Collins and the Wildcats when they return to Welsh Ryan Arena Wednesday at 6. Single game and family plans on sale now at nusports.com. I'm Dave Ennett. WGN Sports.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. A break from weekend snowfall. Partly sunny. Cold temperatures, though, with highs in the mid-20s today. We'll stay in the teens on Tuesday. It's 26 at O'Hare. Cloudy skies there. 29 at Midway and in suburban Westmont. Along Chicago's lakefront, 28 degrees. Sustained winds at 16 miles an hour near the lakefront this morning. Gusting nearly up to 23. That's keeping the wind chill factor at 14 above zero. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Vic Vaughn on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning here on the Opening Bell, our Monday edition. As we head into the second half hour, a couple of top headlines before we get into our next interview. Iran has sealed a deal with Boeing to sell 80 planes. Boeing, Chicago-based Boeing, will get $16.8 billion. There is a trouble ahead for the IMF chief. Christine Lagarde goes on trial today in France, a negligence trial there. And Brexit uncertainties threaten a brain drain for UK science, according to experts. All of those are top business headlines as we move into this Business Monday. Well, it's, 8 inches of snow, I think, is out at O'Hare, a couple of inches here at the lakefront. Lots of places have snow on the grass and on the greens as well. And so we're going to tease you now with a little golf discussion, conversation this morning, the business of sports in the Chicago area. The KPMG Women's PGA Championship is going to be played in Chicago, I think, for the next two summers. And Sean Riley is with the organization. He's with us today. And good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to tease people because I bet you if there are golf fans listening today, they're a little upset they're not going to be able to get on the greens for a while.
Yeah, it might be a little while, but, you know, that's the time of year here in Chicago. And we're certainly still preparing for a great major championship. We'll be at Olympia Field here this year and then up to the northwest suburbs for 2018 at Kemper Lakes.
How big of a deal is this for the Chicago area?
That's a big deal. I mean, you know, anytime you can get a major golf championship into a marketplace, it's a very big deal. You know, the unique thing here with the KPMG Women's PGA Championship is it's not only 156 of the best players in the world competing for one of the highest purses, it's also about diversity and inclusion in both sports and business. So it's a big deal for the marketplace. We get an opportunity to celebrate the game of golf. We get an opportunity to celebrate business and everything that makes us diverse, special, and unique.
We're going to get into a couple of the pieces of points here of nitty-gritty, but I want to talk first about just the money, the business of this, because that's what we do here, the business of whatever, the business in this case of golf. How does this benefit financially, not just Olympia Fields, but the entire Chicago area financially?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only do you have a significant amount of people traveling into the greater Chicagoland, you've got them obviously lodging, using the transportation. It's a significant piece of business and a significant opportunity to put Chicago on the map as a major championship venue, as has been many times before. And this is a different championship and the first time that the women have been here with the Women's PGA Championship.
And the second part of this, too, is the prestige of having the best golfers in the world, women's golfers in the world, come here. This also gives you an opportunity to do some outreach in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the platform of this event is diversity and inclusion. And we do a lot with the, you know, the first tee. We'll do a lot with the Girl Scouts and various groups in the community to expose them to the game of golf and to give them an opportunity to use golf as a tool in their lives and in their businesses once they get to that point. So it's a great opportunity for families to come together, use the game of golf that has obviously wonderful values instilled into it, but also a great opportunity to teach a young person an outdoor sport that they can play for life. So we see it as a great benefit for the community and for the individual as well.
The LPGA has not only a lot of adult women golfers, but there are some of the stars are actually young women in like 18 in their teens, upper teens.
Yeah, you know, the tour gets younger and younger every year. Our defending champion is Brooke Henderson. She was 18 years old when she hoisted the trophy at Sahali Country Club just outside Seattle last year. The number one player in the world, Lydia Ko, is under 21 years of age. And this new star, Arya Jeantonagarn, is just 20 years old herself. So it's pretty amazing. The role models that are available in this game, you know, from all over the world and certainly from all over the age spectrum, but right now the young players seem to have the upper hand.
The it's said that these big sporting events often are criticized because the average person has a hard time getting tickets to get in to see them. Will this be an easy access sort of thing for fans?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, obviously, with the major championship, and we're going to have a lot of demand on getting tickets. But it won't be like the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship, where tickets will sell out and spectators will have to, get other means to get in just for a single day. But this championship, tickets are going to be available. That's one of the pieces that we're very proud of, available and affordable. So a family can come out, enjoy the championship at a very reasonable price. Kids 17 years and younger with a ticketed adult get in for free. And tickets are just $15 for a practice round and go up to just $30 for a weekend round. So a very affordable, very inclusive ticket experience for the entire community.
And we should mention again, this is June 27th through July 2nd of 2017. Sean, I want to ask you a little bit about the branding of this. It must be a big deal for KPMG to have the sponsorship for this. What does this mean for a company like KPMG?
Well, for KPMG, it was a unique opportunity to get involved in a major golf championship that they could really kind of bring in something unique and special. And they did that with the KPMG Women's Leadership Summit. It's a really unique piece during the championship. They bring together 300 women selected by their CEOs to come in for a day of mentorship and empowerment. Last year's session was led by Dr. Condoleezza Rice, Monica Sorenstam, and it's really become the who's who of major companies that come together. This all takes place on the 18th green here at Olympia Fields, the day before the championship starts. So obviously a very important business tool for KPMG and a very important day in diversity and inclusion and growing the game of golf and the leadership in business.
I'm told that by golfers, I am not one of them, but I appreciate the sport, that the playing course is obviously a big key to attracting an event like this. What is special about Olympia Fields, the course there in Olympia Fields, that pulled in the PGA?
Yeah, Olympia Fields comes with some unbelievable history. The club was opened in 1915 and had a series of golf courses and built their very large clubhouse, 110,000 square feet in 1925. And that obviously attracted a lot of major golf championships over the years. So they've hosted U.S. Opens, PGA Championships, Western Opens. The list just goes on and on and on. And the number of major championships they host is obviously a big part of attracting an event like this. We want to bring the best women in the world together at the best venues and ultimately lead to the best champion. And Olympia Fields obviously is going to help us significantly in bringing those factors together.
Sean Riley, KPMG, the director of the Women's PGA Championship for KPMG. We appreciate you being with us this morning. Best of luck for the LPGA again coming next June 27th through July 2nd. And tickets are on sale now. Sean, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
All right, it's 5:48. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:52 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing up just a little bit, up 7 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower. Gold is trading lower. Silver is also trading lower. Oil is up about 4% this morning at $53.58 a barrel. The latest now in commodities, agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. We begin this trading week wondering if we'll get any mention of a possible Secretary of Agriculture. I'll be in Washington on Wednesday to do my annual year-end interview with Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, and I'll maybe get an idea of who's being looked at. Two names on my list have dropped off now, apparently. Well, first of all, we definitely know Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, who was on the list, will be the U.S. ambassador to China, which I think is a good choice. Another name on the list, Rick Perry from Texas, apparently will go off the list, as word yesterday said that he could move into the U.S. energy spot in Washington. And I didn't make it to Arizona as I had planned to yesterday and today for a speaking engagement. Weather canceling flights, and one of them canceled was mine. That's why it's going to be important that weather be in good shape on Tuesday so that I can head to Washington. An interesting week last week. Lean hog futures hitting a three-month high on Friday. Technical buying and some buy stops coming into the market. And that December hog contract, incidentally, will expire on Wednesday of this week. Meanwhile, weather impacted the Board of Trade grain market this past week. Dryness in Argentina being a concern. January soybeans ended the week up 12 cents a bushel. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. A couple of final notes for us here on the program this morning from the weekend, in case you missed it. The Inconvenient Truth. Remember the movie about the climate change, Al Gore's movie, the documentary? It is coming for a sequel. It's going to premiere at the Sundance Film Festival on January 19th, according to the former vice president and president, according to the popular vote, now more than ever, we must rededicate ourselves to solving the climate crisis. Just one of the things that he was talking about over the weekend. Also, Christmas may not happen at all in Venezuela. The government there has seized nearly 4 million toys from a private company and says it will hand them out as Christmas gifts to poor children this holiday season. Now, what's going to happen to the other children in the country, we don't know yet, but that's a lot of toys that have been seized from that company. Again, that's in Venezuela. Also today on the Associated Bank market outlook for this Monday, it's December 12th, 2016. Here are a few things that could drive the markets today. The monthly Treasury statement of receipts and outlays comes from the U.S. government. There's a report later on today from the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences on a link between childhood poverty and subsequent physical health, psychological health, I should say. And Forbes' richest under 40 list is released later today. Green Monday. This is Green Monday, one of the biggest days for online sales. The name was coined by eBay in 2007 to describe the best sales day in December. Traditionally, it's the second Monday of the month. Some also refer today as a Manic Monday, as consumers purchase online goods with delivery scheduled in time for Christmas. The 114th Congress has left D.C. for the holidays. The Golden Globe nominations are announced later on today. That's our program for today. Please join us tomorrow morning again for another edition of The Opening Bell. We'll be here bright and early at 5 o'clock, and we'll continue to follow your money throughout this morning on The Steve Cochran Show, coming up next. I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great day.